Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord for this time we're able to share together as we continue to explore what it means to be a hundredfold disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not going to be able to complete or conclude the message this week, so we will carry on and move into next week as well. But as we begin today's broadcast, let me just share some familiar passages, I trust, out of 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And Paul is writing to his beloved son. This is the last communication he really had with him in terms of writing that we have preserved in the Bible. And he says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We can say amen to that. It's a very familiar passage. He goes on to say, "Men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, and traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." And he goes on. In verse 8, he said, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses," do you remember them? They basically said, you know, all of God's people are holy. We're all anointed of God. You take too much upon yourself, you know. So do these also resist the truth. There are, and these were children of Israel, the chosen, but, and even in the example of the rebellion of Korah, we see that there were those who rose up against the leadership, God-ordained leadership of Moses, and challenged them, you know. In fact, at one point, even there's many lessons that could be learned. Aaron and his sister Miriam spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian wife he married. And basically, if you remember the story, he called them all forth in the presence of the tabernacle, and he said, "Why were I, you know, with a prophet, I'll speak in dark similitudes, but with Moses, my servant, I speak face to face. Why were you not afraid to speak evil of him?" And she was, you know, for 7 days, leprous. And so the point is, we can be critical of leadership, and that's probably not a good place to be in, of course. But there are those who err concerning the faith. That's what it said. They're reprobate concerning the faith. And in verse 13, it says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." In other words, they could be fully convinced that they are correct, or the gospel they're preaching is the real truth, but they're deceived, and they deceive those who listen. He basically says in the remainder of that third chapter, "From a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise to salvation." And he gives that very familiar passage, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." So the point is, that is the, as I've said time and again, that is the deciding factor about regarding the state of the church, because much apostasy has come into the church, and it's all based around the Word of God. There are those who absolutely adhere to the inerrancy and absolute truth of Scripture, and there are those who feel that, well, you know, we need to make it relevant for the world in which we are now living, and perhaps we've misinterpreted the word. It doesn't really mean what it says. And so that's the basis that entire denominations have been split, based on the Word of God. And there, you know, they may initially start by meaning well, wanting to preach salvation, but they have brought the church, their churches, in line with secularism, and they make the teachings, their message, a message of humanism instead a gospel of the kingdom. Many are just taking out the blood of Christ. Well, you know, for the unsaved, that's just a little unsavory. We just won't mention that. We don't want to offend. We want to be open and invitational to everyone so people can come and feel comfortable and not be put off by some, you know, complex theological argument. But the fact of the matter is, beloved, you can't sugarcoat it. We're all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And so we cannot, as Jesus didn't, John the Baptist, they were very, and the disciples, they were very clear in terms of the message of God, of the gospel. In fact, Paul, he said, turn away from anyone if they're not preaching what I have preached to you, because Paul knew he received what he received, not by studying, not by sitting under some great teacher, although he did, Gamaliel, but it was by divine revelation from God. He was 3 years in the Arabian desert before he ever started his ministry. So we have to understand that the gospel of the kingdom is quite different than a lot of the seeker-friendly messages that are being preached today. Jesus went everywhere. What did he do? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he never once compromised or capitulated, and neither did the disciples, as far as the truth of the word of God. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. And Jesus is not just one of the great religious figures of the world. No. There was someone I was with recently, and they talk about Father. You know, they don't mention Jesus. And basically, Jesus is just one of the ascended masters who have, you know, a wonderful teacher. No, he's not the founder of a world religion of Christianity on the level of Mohammed or Buddha. You know, there's many roads to heaven. That is an absolute lie. Or any religious leader or founder who would have any form of die, and there's been so many, and they'll increase in the last days, the word of God says. But Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Lamb of God, which was slain for the sins of the world, and he is the resurrected Christ who lives eternally, and he is going to return to this earth to take his bride to marriage. There's no other way. Jesus said, no one comes to the Father but by me. Now, you can be offended by that, you can argue it, but it does not diminish the truth of what he said. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the door to the sheepfold. Any other way is a thief and a robber. And so Jesus was absolutely very clear. And as C.S. Lewis said once, either he was insane to make these kinds of claims, or he was a liar, or what he said was actually the truth. So that's a decision every man, woman, and child must make for themselves. Okay, let's read Hebrews, the first chapter, 1-4. That's how this epistle opens. God, who at sundry different times and in different manners, various manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. That's the whole of the Old Testament. He says in verse 2, hath in these last days, why, we have a new covenant, spoken unto us by his Son. Who is his Son? One Son, Jesus, whom he hath appointed heir, hallelujah, of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. I guess he has the right to do that, right? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Beloved, this is the God that we serve. Jesus, absolute divine God, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but also a perfect man, just like we are. He had the same emotions. He got tired. He got hungry. He was made just as his brethren, us, are, but without sin. He was, and he had to be without sin to be the perfect Lamb of God. They, under the old covenant, they had to have a perfect victim, if you will, the lamb, the goat, they had to be spotless. They couldn't have injured or defective animals. And so that was representative of the perfection of Jesus. And too many clergymen, too many religious authorities, too many people have lost confidence in the truth of Christianity. And why is that? Because they are refusing annulling, if you will, the Word of God. So many stand in pulpits speaking volumes of words, a culturally relevant social message about religion, about the church, about theology, but they stand empty-handed and uncomfortable when confronted with the multitudes, with the man and woman on the street in this country, across the world, that need more than words. They need action. They need the power of God. Beloved, we are not fighting against flesh and blood in these days of battle. We're not dealing with simply problems and mistakes of the human community. No, beloved, we are dealing with much more. We are dealing with the powers of darkness. Paul goes on to say, we're not fighting flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world of spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And many people are going to have to recognize the work of Satan, rebuke him, and resist his work in their lives. Many, so many are in need of deliverance from the power of Satan in their lives. And it will never come, beloved, through the philosophy of a man-made ideology. It's going to come through obeying the Word of God, and it is going to take place by the hands of God's obedient servants, beloved. That's what God is calling us to, that high calling, that hundredfold commitment, where we can manifest the love and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I have some more scriptures. We will just continue on next week, and I hope you'll be able to join me at the same time. And if at any point you're not able to, you can always go to our website, unveilchrist.org. If you've missed a broadcast or would like to re-listen, go to the broadcast, and they are archived there that you might listen anytime at your convenience. Know that I love you sincerely with all my heart, not just my partners, but those who listen regularly. You may have never written. I call you my radio family, and ask God's richest blessings upon you. I love you with all my heart. I thank you for your prayer support for me. Beloved, we're all in battle, and know that ministries that are preaching the whole counsel of God are under intense spiritual warfare. I love you, and until next week, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.